downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app. To Radio Free Brooklyn, and this is Reciprocity Radio. I'm your host, Amanda, and yeah, this is a show about food, cooking, eating, drinking, sharing, recipes, all that good stuff. And what you heard on the top of this hour here was Lost in the Supermarket by The Clash. I played that song because it's also the title of a book I'm going to be talking about today. It is Lost in the Supermarket, an indie rock cookbook by Kay Bozich Owens and Lynn Owens, and I was pretty excited to order this. I saw it on sale, and I was like, oh great, I'll grab that, because I thought it was out of print. It's not, and I'm really excited to talk about it. So this book is sort of a collection of recipes from indie rock bands spanning like all across the country and different nations. And includes so many artists in it who've shared things that they personally love to make, along with stories about why. It's pretty great. There's so many bands, Japanther, Country Teasers, Call Me Loretta, Animal Collective, Belle and Sebastian, Pretty Girls Make Graves, The Mountain Goats, Chumbawamba, Sonic Youth, The New Amsterdams, The Neptunes, Daniel Johnston, did I already say Mountain Goats? Silver Jews, German Art Students, Calexico, and even more. The Trachtenberg Family Slideshow Players. I don't know if any of you remember back when Jason Trachtenberg of the Trachtenberg Family Slideshow Players used to have a show on Radio Free Brooklyn, and he followed the original show that I did here on the station. So I know him, and I was so excited to see his recipes in the book because I've talked to him about cooking, and I knew he loved cooking, so that was pretty exciting. And we'll get to those in a second. As you can tell, there are a ton of really great bands included in here. Fugazi, Zuzu, like all kinds of cool stuff. So I'm going to be playing some of the songs from the bands in the book and also talking about the recipes today until 6 p.m. Because the show's only an hour long. Lost in the Supermarket. So I wanted to do this episode on this book because I've done actually a couple episodes that relate to music and food. And it seems to be a pairing that just like keeps coming up, and I love that. So I've talked about it a couple times, but previously I did a crossover episode with Shane of Everybody Plays the Fool. That's a show on Monday night, I think at 8 or 9. It's themed every week, different theme. And Shane and I did a crossover where I came with him on his show and we played songs about cooking or recipes. And then he came on my show and we talked about the cookbooks that we'd gotten that were written by musical artists. So we had everything from Patti LaBelle to Paul McCartney to Leslie Feist. We had so many recipes, and there's probably enough to keep doing it, honestly. We could do another episode this year. So those are really fun. You can find those on reciprocityradio.com/episodes or at everybodyplaysthefool.com. That was a really fun one to do with Shane. I also did an episode about a cookbook that was a collection of jazz recipes or recipes written by jazz musicians. It was a really great book and I really enjoyed talking through that. It was like broken up by instrument section, which is really cool, and I played some of the music from there. That's on reciprocityradio.com and the episodes section. What you'll also find, which I mentioned last week, is that I started a new section on the website, again, reciprocityradio.com, a playlist that you can cook to. And this includes playlists that I have made with specific themes or sounds or, you know, decades. But also albums that I really, really love. I put on George McRae's Rock Your Baby. It's one of my favorite LPs. I put up Van Morrison, who I got to see last Wednesday. And it was totally surreal and amazing. And I'll be updating that pretty regularly. So check it out if you're like in the kitchen and you want something to listen to besides Radio Free Brooklyn. You can check out these playlists. They're all on the website and I think they're pretty great. So I'm excited to keep going with that side project and this endeavor here. Okay, so since I told you we're going to talk about Lost in the Supermarket, an indie rock cookbook, I'm going to read you an introduction about the book. And then I'll cut to some music from the bands featured in the book, and then we'll get into these recipes, some of which are very, very funny, some of which sound like things I genuinely really want to make, so I'm excited. And I should tell you that the backing track is a song that or a band that's actually featured in the book twice. It's Belle and Sebastian, and the song is called Passion Fruit. So, yeah, I tried to opt for like food-related songs where I could with the bands in here just to make it even more challenging. So I'm having a little fun with that today. Okay, about this book. Kay has always considered food to be a special and important part of life. She dreamed of the Sunday roast beef dinners she had read about or seen on many sitcoms on TV she watched growing up in the 70s. And occasionally she convinced her mother to make one. But mostly her family mundanely ate Mrs. Paul's fish sticks, which looked good on the plate, but sat more uneasily on the palate. And in lieu of playing with Barbies, she played with her McDonald's Play School playset. She embraced food as a significant part of what makes life special and meaningful. Her family's relationship with food was always one of ease and necessity, never one of artistic delight and importance, which never really sat well with Kay. If you've got to eat anyway, you may as well learn all about the cooking process and be civilized and somewhat sophisticated about it. Although not vegan or even vegetarian, it is part of Kay that finds the commonality with Isa Chandra Moskowitz, author of Vegan with a Vengeance and co-host of NYC's Post-Punk Kitchen. She's older, has a punk past, and must have worked in a cubicle to survive as an adult. And like her, Kay has grown depressed with the lack of cool cooking icons and resources that are out there. Getting into cooking doesn't mean you are aspiring to be Betty Crocker. You have to eat every day of your life, so cooking is a skill everyone should cultivate, and you'd be smart to get in as many reference points and tips as you can. Kay's been scouring cookbooks and watching cooking shows on PBS for longer than she cared to admit. In her constant craving for recipes, new ideas about food, she yearned to know what others ate, what they liked, what was on their dinner table, night, or in their van while touring. And for both of us, recipes are just little jewels or treasures of scientific experiments. We love the surprise ingredients that transforms the mundane into something artistic and triumphant, if not enviable. We appreciate the effort, commitment, and creativity it takes to transform a basket full of products at your local AP into a desirable and tasty antidote to one's hunger and something you'd want to share with friends or add to your weekly meal rotation. And this is how we view recipes and food, ways to both decipher people and learn from them. So naturally, we wanted to know what everyone else was doing in their kitchen. This book has rather humble beginnings. We just started writing to bands to ask them about their new favorite recipes. No grand plans, no book contracts, no idea of how it would work out. We just thought that we would give it a go and take the plunge. This book is a testament to the fact that unlikely projects can come to fruition. So it never hurts to try. Why did we know any of the brands personally? No. Do we have any insider connections? Absolutely not. And most bands' recipes were obtained via email requests. The fact that the bands took trouble to write a recipe, even take a photo or do a drawing, and correspond during their busy touring schedules and personal shit amazed us, and it renewed our faith in the punk rock. The bands told us about other bands and told other bands about the book. Books of Bargard of Einstürzend New Baton emailed Kay. Sure, it was to decline participating, but it was still pretty cool. People doing it for themselves, but also for others, a very nice and important subculture within this capitalist and often self-serving world. And some bands did quite a bit for us, such as putting us on a guest list, passing along the information to their friends and other bands who later got in touch with us, or giving us personal email addresses of friends and other bands. Interestingly, we've noticed that it's a small indie rock world after all. Much of the recruitment for the book took place through musician networks, members of Black Dice, Room with Animal Collective, Country Teasers suggested we contact 16 Bitch Pileup, and the A-Frame Sari Pop label of AIDS Wolf introduced us to the members of Sunset Rubdown. The project was all about the chase of getting the band at the right time and then having them the slightest interest in cooking. It involved a lot of reminding or nagging. More often than not, the bands were just not procrastinating. They were busy touring, recording, curating art shows, their own writing, the side projects that competed for their time. All of these artistic side projects proved a bit troublesome for us initially, but ended up being somewhat inspirational, offering numerous examples of creativity overload, extending from music talents well into other fields. There's certainly no room for complacency in the indie music world. Of course, not everything worked out the way we hoped. There were a lot of unreturned emails and unfulfilled promises of recipes coming soon. Daniel Johnson doesn't have an email, but his brother was nice enough to contribute for him. There are many other artists that, while they tried to get into the book, just didn't end up working out for whatever reason. This book is a tribute to food and to the bands themselves. Without their generosity, it would have never happened. This book, of course, is no scholarly endeavor. There's no formal hypothesis needed, but the whole premise was assuming that people in bands do cook, and that was thankfully confirmed in this project. Of course, not all are gourmets, but everyone has their own recollections of favorite foods. This book will give you a little more knowledge about the prominent bands in the indie scene today, as well as some more tasty food you can make for yourself and others every night. Wouldn't you love to make Animal Collective's Geologist Shrimp before seeing them live? Well, now you can't. Use the recipes in this book to eat out less, save money for CDs, shows, books, a trip, whatever, but save your money. We are often first to fall prey to restaurateurs working all day and wanting to be served. While too often restaurants like ambience or whatever ambience exists is disrupted by a screaming child right next to you. Not exactly relaxing, indulgent, or the reprise reprieve you craved. So yeah, one more thing here. Most of the recipes are written less formally and more off the cuff than traditional ones. They are written by creative people who like a little experimentation in the kitchen and also like to keep it simple. They have given you a little bit of rope to play with, not to hang yourself, but open to the possibilities of innovation. Let the recipes ease you into cooking and use your own instincts to alter, add, and omit as you like. This is simply a starting place, not the end. In 1976, the early punk fan Sideburns published a diagram of three chords demanding, this is a chord, this is another, and this is a third, now a form of Vans. Consider this book a culinary update to this dictum. Here is a recipe, here is another, here is a third, now make some dinner. So that is the intro for this book. Again, Lost in the Supermarket by Kay and Lynn Owens. And I'm going to play right now for you some of the bands that are featured in here. I'm pretty excited. You're going to hear from the Trachtenberg family, Daniel Johnson, and the Mountain Goats. And I'll come back with recipes from them. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is Reciprocity Radio here on Radio Free Brooklyn every Sunday at 5 p.m. And yeah, enjoy what you hear.
said I sure was lost. Just all the time make believing. Just what is the difference? In my heart, I'm always there, hugging you in the art room. You said you had to go. I took it out on a shopping cart.
Just heard Animal Collective with Tickweed. Before that, you heard Pure Love by the Mountain Goats. Before that, Everlasting Love from Daniel Johnston. And before that, You're the One Who Was Made for Me and I Was Made for You by the Trachtenberg Family Players. I'm Amanda, this is Reciprocity Radio, and I'm talking about Lost in the Supermarket, a cookbook comprised of recipes from indie rock bands and artists. So, I played some music from the bands that are featured in this book, and I'm going to talk about the recipes right now. It actually starts off with a recipe from the Trachtenberg Family Players, which I just lost. It's in the very front of the book. There it is. And I'm pretty excited to actually make this one since I've never made salsa. This is by Tina from the Trachtenberg Family, and it says, how can we get you into this thing you referred to as attracting your family? So we've got our families, and then you've got a family who is also a band, lives in NYC, and travels around the world touring, and just happens to be food entrepreneurs. Back in the 90s, while living in Seattle, Trachtenberg mom, Tina, sold her very own roasted gourmet salsa in 20 local grocery stores. And to this day, Tina judges the restaurant if they're good by how good their salsa is. And her philosophy is that if a restaurant has good salsa, everything else will be stellar as well. And from Tina, it's salsa is one of my favorite things and it's easy to make. Rachel, their daughter, really loves this salsa for breakfast, and I like to always have it available for her. When I was a child, my dad made fresh salsa for me, and this recipe can vary as far as availability of fresh vegetables. So the first step is actually to boil the jalapenos that are required. I've never heard of that, but it sounds pretty smart and maybe helps like with the intensity of spice. And then you add the tomatoes to the pot with the jalapenos and boil for another 20 minutes. Salsa is best when you allow the vegetables to cool. And then you add garlic and some salt and a half a cup of water. And you blend this, like, apparently, so it kind of breaks down. And then add, so you blend garlic, salt, and water. And then add your cooked tomatoes and jalapenos and some cilantro into the dish, and that's it. I'm pretty excited to try that. It seems simple enough, but we'll see how it goes when I make it. I think it's still pretty good tomato season out there. The other Trachtenberg recipe from this book is by Jason, who again used to have a show on Radio Free Brooklyn, and he's wonderful. This is called Good Morning Bread. Jason says, I originally nicked the basis of this recipe off the back of a rice milk carton. They were possibly calling it Odie Apple Muffins or something like that. I would often find myself walking around the East Village or the Lower East Side, peering into the windows of bakeries and looking at some brownish and probably a little Swedish baked bread loaves. In theory and in practice, the bakeries then slice these loaves into slices and sell the slices for $2 to $3 a piece. With ingredients usually consisting of white flour, white sugar, and white sugar, grocery stores also sell prepackaged versions of similar loaf slices, airtight plastic wrapped and laced with chemicals in order to preserve for up to 2 years. These bread slices are the modern-day conglomeration of questionable culinary chemicals. In other words, we are presented with an inferior, conventionally processed chemical cakes at a 200 to 500% markup. So what to do? I had to bake these cake and bread loaves for myself with the healthiest ingredients available for a fraction of the price and an insurmountable improvement over the ingredients. These loaves are there for the baking. Follow or don't follow this recipe. Cooking, like any art form, is an extension of life. It is always open up for interpretation and improvisation on the original, then that in turn makes you and your art the new original. So this is a pretty simple bread, but with some really healthy ingredients. It calls for spelt flour, rolled oats, rice milk, agave nectar, and baking powder, cinnamon, nutmeg, and salt. It's simple, and I think you could probably throw in some fruit or dried fruit or, you know, some other spices if you wanted to kick things up. But it seems pretty straightforward. I'll try this recipe out and see how it happens or how it turns out and see if it really is good morning bread. Getting kind of preoccupied lately with simpler breads and doughs just because I love how appealing they are to throw something together with minimal effort and kind of have a great result. So up from the Mountain Goats, which is John Darnielle, one of my favorite bands of all time, and I play their song Pure Love off Bitter Melon Farm. This is called Fall Ross, and the book writes, the prolific John Darnielle, songwriter and half of the 4AD band The Mountain Goats, is noted for his beautifully crafted songs, which are often about food and animals that can talk. John borrows the recipe from world-renowned actor and cookbook author Madhur Joffrey to create a refreshingly pungent drink, take John's lead and read different cookbooks for ideas you'd never come up with. Fowras, which is to say ginger fruit punch, is adapted from Madhur Joffrey's World Vegetarian Cookbook, 1999, Clarkson Potter Publishers, and it is fresh ginger with sugar, lime juice, lemon juice, orange juice, fresh orange, pineapple juice, and club soda, and guava if you like. John writes, Madhur Joffrey insists that plain water is just as good, but I wouldn't know because the club soda is so wonderful and delicious that I do not take any chances messing with the working formula, to wit, ginger syrup plus fresh by God lemon juice plus orange pineapple juice plenty of ice and club soda, a drink so fine that you'll wonder where it's been your entire life. And finally, we had heard from Daniel Johnson, so I wanted to talk about the recipe that's in this book. Daniel does not have access to email, nor is he much of a cook, which has apparently had no bearing on his tenure at Austin, Texas McDonald's in the mid-1980s. Luckily, his brother Dick offered up this recipe. Apparently, Daniel does have food preferences other than his slave-like devotion to Mountain Dew. This is Daniel and Dick's favorite snap recipe while growing up, which they referred to as mud cookies, but you may know them as no-bake peanut butter oatmeal cookies, and that's butter, cocoa, milk, sugar, peanut butter, and oats. And you basically melt the butter and add the cocoa, then you add sugar and milk, stir it until overheat until that's dissolved, bring it to a boil, and then add the peanut butter, and then you add the oats after the mixture is removed from heat, and spoon it onto wax paper and wait until it's cold so you don't bake these. I've never tried that, so I'm gonna have to figure that out. Never made any no-bake cookies in my life. I don't trust that, but well, maybe it's gonna be really good, and then I'll say this. I got this recipe from Daniel Johnson. I've also never cooked shrimp in my life before, and that is the recipe that is in here for Animal Collective. So I'll read you a little bit about it. It sounds actually really good. It just never really worked with shrimp at home. That's Geologist Greek Style Shrimp from Animal Collective. Let's see. 3 cloves of garlic, an onion, tomatoes, wild-caught shrimp. That is an important note. No farmed shrimp, please. Oregano, black pepper, rice, and a handful of feta. And you simmer the garlic and onions until the onions are sweet. Add tomatoes and simmer on high heat. Stir until the excess liquid boils off and tomatoes become pulpy. Add the shrimp and cook until they're done, so they're going to turn pink. Add oregano and pepper and your desired spice level. And when finished, pour over the top of cooked white rice. I imagine this would be really good with pasta also. Crumble a bunch of feta cheese over the top and stir the cheese into the dish. It's best hot because the cheese melts and is distributed through the dish. So that is from Geologists from Animal Collective. And we heard Mountain Goats, Daniel Johnson, the Trachtenberg Family, Slideshow Players, Recipes. I have a lot more for you bookmarked in this book and a couple more songs. So I hope you're enjoying what you hear. And I hope you'll check out this book. It's pretty fun and there's a lot of weird stuff in here that I'm really pretty into. I have one more because we're going to hear from them next. Belle and Sebastian actually has two recipes in this book. And one is for a Thai sweet potato soup that kind of gets its Thai flavor from Thai curry, fresh ginger, lemongrass, and a little bit of coconut milk and kefir lime leaves. It sounds really good. And then at the end of the book, they also had a recipe for, I think it was like figs, goat cheese, and honey vinegar, which I think is just a mixture of vinegar and honey. So maybe an English thing. Plum, honey vinegar, and feta salad. The next time you are inclined to serve a fruit salad alongside with your entree, make this dish instead. You never guess so much flavor could come out of so few ingredients. Kay credits her salad, this salad, with her newfound love of plums. So dark plums chopped, a dash of honey vinegar, or 1 tablespoon red wine vinegar with a teaspoon of honey, feta crumbled, and a few mint leaves chopped. So mix all of those things together and kind of let it sit for a second and then enjoy. So I'm really looking forward to trying that because I also have a newfound love of plums. And I wrote about the famous New York Times plum cake, and Koda talked about that last week. I did that a week ago, and it's on reciprocityradio.com. It was so good, and I really did not expect that. And then I ended up making a really quick plum jam also with my leftover fruit, and I've been eating that all week. It's delicious, so you can find more about that on Reciprocity Radio. Up next, we have Mina Potatoes by Belle and Sebastian. You'll hear from Sonic Youth and the Silver Jews. This is Reciprocity Radio. Thanks for tuning in.
My baby came to me lately, honey, please don't take this back, but maybe when you laid me, could we try to spice it up? I looked her across the table. First to see if she was joking, no joke, there was no flicker, just a girl who wanted more than meat and potato. She may stop by at Whips and Jane's. She needs carousal. By using handcuffs, we tried a can of cold whipped cream. I was allergic to so much dairy. She had to finish it all by herself. I slapped her. She wasn't expecting. Then she hit me back. She freaking cracked me. I got a nosebleed. She was angry. She wanted more than meat and potatoes. The neighbors,
invite the neighbors,
or total strangers,
or total strangers.
Give yourself a leg of honey where the queen must put on the French basque. Respect me, and you won't reject me. And the arrow of our love is straight and true.
Shine out in the wild silence and spurn the sin of a target that we can't see. Grass grows in the icebox. The year ends in the next room. It is autumn and my camouflage is dying. Instead of time, there will be lateness. Instead of time, there will be lateness. Instead of time, there will be lateness. And let forever be delayed.
Just heard the Silver Jews with The Wild Kindness and Belle and Sebastian with Meat and Potatoes. Yeah, those are some bands featured in this book that I'm talking to you about today, Lost in the Supermarket. I'm Amanda. This is Reciprocity Radio here on Radio Free Brooklyn. Let me do a tiny bit of housekeeping here while I'm looking at our flyers. While I wrap up my hour here, we are doing a really cool thing. It's the Teen After School program, Teens Take the Mic. Radio Free Brooklyn is proud to announce that we have been partially funded to start an after school program for local teenagers in 2019. Our grant will only pay for so much, so we still have a long way to go to make this dream become a reality. The after school program will allow teens from Brooklyn areas to learn about media and media making using a hands-on approach guided by local professionals currently working in both radio and journalism. Each participant will create their own radio show, which will actually air on Radio Free Brooklyn on a new dedicated stream. We'd love for our listeners to help make this program happen by going to radiofreebrooklyn.org/afterschool and reading more about the program and donating whatever you can afford. Radio Free Brooklyn is a 501c3 nonprofit community organization, and each donation is tax deductible. So check it out. It's radiofreebrooklyn.org/afterschool. I'm very proud of our efforts to get involved with not only the community around us, but with youth programs. It's something I personally worked in. I was a teacher for a long time, and it's so empowering to give the voice to these young people. So I'm really excited for this program to come to fruition. It's something we've wanted for a very long time. So please check it out. And very proud that we're putting an emphasis on giving back and helping people learn how to make radio, because it's so much fun. So I hope you'll check that out on RadioFreeBrooklyn.com. Consider donating if you like, or RadioFreeBrooklyn.org. Consider donating if you want, if you can, or, you know, just listen to us. We love our listeners, so thank you. I'm going to continue on as I finish up with a couple more recipes from this book, which again is Lost in the Supermarket by Kay Boswitz-Owens and Lynn Owens. There's some pretty fun things, and some of these things are actually really funny. So I did read some that I was like, of my favorite artists that were in the book, but there's some more. It says Rose de Sables from Call Me Loretta, and or they're called Sand Roses. And this is from Seb of the band. For when you are invited to a reception with the Queen, a presidential dinner, wedding anniversary, Tupperware party, housewarming party, dinner with your stepmother, a wake, or for any other formal occasion, are you supposed to bring dessert or buy roses for the lady of the house? Of course, if you are too hungover to get to the florist before it closes, you could instead of disappointing everyone or stealing the cooling pie from your grandmother's windowsill, you can cook sand roses and kill two birds with one stone. Now, this recipe sounds a lot like something else I grew up eating, which is what we call puppy chow. Some people call this Muddy Buddies, which is like Chex cereal that's been stirred around with some melted peanut butter and chocolate chips, and then you toss it in powdered sugar. This is 3/4 cup of butter, 8 ounces of chocolate, 5.5 ounces of confectioner's sugar, and 8 ounces of cornflakes. And you basically melt the butter and chocolate and stir in the confectioner's sugar and sort of add the cornflakes. And then you use like a tablespoon or a larger size spoon to make little little clusters of this chocolate cornflake mixture. And they dry and they kind of look like flowers because the cornflakes have a sort of petal shape. So this is pretty awesome. The notes here are, you can cook sand roses for any informal occasion or to satisfy your own gluttonous desires. You can follow the lead of our drummer and give these roses to a lady or man that you're trying to pick up. But also don't follow that advice in a restaurant. So I'll kind of keep going on as I run out of time. It's always, it's fun to play music. I'd love to do that on this show, but it is not easy to balance out the time with that. Let's see. What do we have here? I read this yesterday on the beach, and I really put in so many little dog ears. Something I hope I will try this week, so I'll have to come back to it, is Italian Wedding Soup from Sonic Youth. This book sort of tragically was released before the split of Kim Gordon and Thurston Moore, but it's talking about their relationship in this recipe, although it is actually Lee Rinaldo's recipe for Italian wedding soup. So I will check this out because that is absolutely one of my favorite foods of all time, and I've never made it, so I figure why not start here. If you're not familiar, it's like a very simple soup with like some meatballs, sometimes they're made of chicken, and greens, spinach cooked into the soup, and a kind of a clear broth and pasta. It's very heartening and delicious, so I'm excited to check out this recipe coming up. One of my favorites was from Zuzu, and it's a recipe for just tofu. And this is it. Lazy Times Lunch of Zuzu. Tofu. Ingredients is just tofu. 1. Take a cold block of tofu out of the fridge. 2. Wash it off. 3. Eat it with a fork. 4. Stare out a window. Lovely. It's funny because the same thing with like some soy, maybe some rice wine vinegar, and a couple scallions, it can be almost transcendent. So, you know, but if you like your plain soups, tofu, then that's, you know, your thing. A-Frames had a recipe for beetza, which is simply a frozen cheese pizza and medium beets that have been cooked, sliced, and then placed on top of the frozen pizza. I will say that there's a caveat here that they are Vermonters, and so their recommendation is using Ultimate Gourmet Pizza is American flatbread frozen pizza. Vermont company sells frozen pizza nationwide and are committed to postmodern baking and making meaningful food. So they're using actually really good frozen pizza for this. From Japan, there we had Matt's Ultra Healthy Hot Dog, which is a peanut butter and banana sandwich that would have had helped keep Elvis alive. So it's a banana on a piece of whole wheat bread with a creamy peanut butter and honey on top. There's just so much in this book, and I'm sorry, I wish I could have gotten to more. There are a few things I really want to make. There's a bunch of stuff I made actually this week, which you'll read about on reciprocityradio.com. You can go check that out. I'm almost finalized this recipe for white bean soup that is very easy and cheap to make and very satisfying. I think I'm going to actually make that again tonight and just make sure everything is correct with it. I did play the Silver Jews, so I will tell you they had this celery recipe. It's Bob's Chinese Spicy Cold Celery. I think this is sort of like a pickled version, which is celery cut into 2-inch strips, salt, vinegar, sugar, dark sesame oil, soy sauce, apple cider vinegar, a clove of garlic, and red pepper. And you sort of dress the chili, dress the celery in this mixture and let it basically quick pickle for about 3 hours and serve it chilled. It sounds sort of like a sort of weird kimchi in a way, but not fermented. And yeah, there's so much in this book. I have so many more things that I didn't really get to today. I apologize. But thanks for tuning in. Please stay tuned. We have an exploration of dub and like reggae music. I think you're gonna love it, and it's really good tunes, and it's perfect for your Sunday. And I will find, let's see, what's one last thing I can read before I sign out here. There was a really funny one at the very end. There's a "What You're Not Gonna Eat That, Are You?" chapter, and this is a recipe for a melodramatic end by Carla Bozulich. Recipe for a melodramatic end. Empty my body onto dirty white sheets, my brittle gills descending desperately, begging for an explanation. The truth has not mended or set me free. The fallible tongue licks fire onto buttery flame. I lost you, my head hurts, my life force is fading. Without water, I can neither breathe nor cry. In an amazing feat of acrobatic prowess, I offer my only remaining gift. I manage to hurl myself across the room, flopping onto the hot cast iron skillet on top of the stove. Eat me. So that's like one of the last two recipes in the book. Thanks for listening to me. Check out Lost in the Supermarket by K. Bosix Owens and Lynn Owens. And I'll see you next week at 5 on Radio Free Brooklyn. The next song is by the Mountain Goats, and I hope you'll enjoy it.
Love you madly.